We have everything. We have food, clothes, friends, all the necessities served. But still, we feel that emptiness. When you don't have free will, nothing else matters. You'd be isolated in a dark cell for months. Nothing was as strong as music in the healing part. Once you have free will, you have everything. If you don't have that, you have nothing. Nothing matters.
Long take.
Hello everyone, I am Asif Iqbal, also known as AIA Lemonsky. That's an alias, everybody calls me that.
What does the alias mean?
AIA is my initials, Asif Iqbal Untu. I have you heard Apurva calling me that, Untu. So AIA comes from there, and I really love the sky and lemons. So that's why lemon sky, and it turned into Lemonsky.
Why do you like the sky?
It's so vast and amazing. It's so nice to look at it. And also everything in there, the moon, the stars, the clouds, the changes of colors, everything. It just fascinates me on a very different level. That's why lemon, I just love the flavor of it. The flavor of it, and also the metaphors attached to it, like when life gives you lemons and make lemonade or turn it into something else, something good. I always believe in that to some extent. You need a little bitterness with all the sweetness or this everything that is going around, probably. It's natural.
Tell a bit about your story and what is important for you as a human being, but also in art.
I don't even know if I should call myself a musician, because my relationship with music is very recent, actually. I never thought I could make songs or even tried to make songs. But then I was put into a very different and difficult situation. And then somehow I started writing. And at one point I got a guitar. I could play the guitar a little bit, very simple basic chords and everything. Not everything, a little. So I started just with the sounds, the notes, putting those words into tune, And they turned into songs and people started liking it. The initial intention is to, like, I'm making songs for myself. Because I had no other intention other than that. So the songs basically talk about my feelings, me consoling myself, me giving myself hope, telling myself that everything is fine. There will be ups and downs, and now you're probably hitting rock bottom, but you'll rise again. It's just phases. They're just phases. And also talking to other people, imaginary people, who are not in my situation. But I didn't realize until I was in this situation that I lost a lot of valuable things. And I wasn't noticing. When I didn't have them, I started noticing them. And I thought it's my responsibility to let the other people know. So basically my songs revolve around those topics, those things, those realizations, missing things, realizing values. And also, like, telling myself it's okay. Just hold on, hang in there. So that's how it started, and accidentally, or fortunately, I was in jail, actually, prison. So the jail authorities proposed me, you should record your songs and give it to us. We have a YouTube channel, we're going to put it there.
You started with it in jail, singing the songs. So one can imagine you were there, had a lot of time, and were starting writing down ideas.
Actually, music is just a small part of the whole journey. I started writing and drawing at first. Then I started getting involved in the administrative works, the correctional initiatives and all those. I did a lot of things there. So I had to be busy all day. I had to work. I had to do something. Either it's managing things or like organizing things or running things. I initiated 7 institutions in prison, different kinds, educational, cultural, artistic, computer learning, even music. So sports. I had to keep track of everything. I was kind of the main... in the main management team of all of those. So every day was very hectic. Very hectic. I had to wake up at 6, and usually people go back to their lockups at 6 p.m., around 6 p.m. But I got a little bit of extra time because there were more work. I couldn't finish in time by 6. So they used to lock me up at around 8 or 9. So 6 to 9 at night, it was a long day every day. After that, I was alone. And that was the time I could contemplate, I could reflect on my thoughts and completely be in solitary. And that's the time when I made these songs. And sometimes I used to make 3-4 songs a night.
Did you have a guitar then?
Yeah, after we established the cultural... institution. It was a school come an experience sharing center. It was called Monon Charcha Kendra, which means a center for psychological improvement or flourishing, enrichment. So there we proposed and we asked a few people if people could donate musical instruments, and people responded from the outside. They sent a guitar, a tabla, a set of flutes, harmonium, 4 or 5 instruments, and that's how the instruments came in. It was like the first time any musical instrument got inside jail. Everyone was excited. So as I knew how to play the guitar a little bit, I knew a bit of a few notes and all that. So I used to, whenever I was alone, I used to sit with the guitar and like humming to myself. And I had a lot of things written by then. I have like 27, almost 30 books like this. There are fatter ones as well, like this one. I can show you these if you want.
Notebooks that
he
writes.
Yeah. So those words started connecting with the tunes and they started being songs.
Maybe we can start with one song before we go too deep into the story.
Yeah, there is a song. It's called Kichune, which means nothingness. So it's basically about the realization that I couldn't figure out before. We have everything. We have food, clothes, friends, all the necessities served. But still, we feel that emptiness. Sometimes we feel like we don't have anything, nothing matters. So then when in there, I realize what makes all the difference. It's the absence of free will. When you don't have free will, nothing else matters. And when you have that, again, nothing else matters. That's the only thing that matters. Yes, my will, my thoughts have a value to someone. So that's a very small thing that we don't really consider much. But at that point, I realized that once you have free will, you have everything. If you don't have that, you have nothing. Nothing matters. And all these songs are very lyric heavy. not very musical, but I hope. সহজাত মনের ভাষায় অবিরত ছায়া ছবি মেনে প্রতিক্ষণ কেটে যাওয়া বাঁধনে ফাটল ধরে জলেতে মাতাল আবার শেষে শুরু বেসামাল জাদু অবিভোর কোন রাত নিশিটাকে সারা দেবে কিনা ভেবে মন ডুবে ভাসে দু চোখে আলোর ভাটা দু পায়ে পাতাল আবার শেষে শুরু বেসামাল বৃত্তের গায়ে ধুলো জমে না কিছু ভাষা কখনো বোঝানো যায় না সময়ের আলেয়া সাথে পরিচিত থাকা না থাকা It's just half the song. I hope it does. It works.
It's wonderful. It's, yeah. And maybe we can start with the second song and then we talk a little bit more about the realities where these songs come from.
I could sing another song that actually got me known to the outside world because when the song started getting published online, publicly, I was inside. I had no idea, Jay, how they're being taken or how much response they're getting or anything. No idea. So when I came out, I figured everybody, all the musician community, they know me. I had no idea about them. And they started coming to me and inspiring me I should continue this because I had really no intention of continuing music. It served its purpose. You know, I needed that. I needed those healing sound to heal me. And it was done. Then the musicians around, the musician community here, they pushed me to continue. You should keep singing, you shouldn't stop. So one song stood out amongst all 13. In the first batch, there were 13 songs. It was called Abar Dekha Hole. And it means, when we meet again. It was basically a letter to the people outside, talking about what's going on in my mind. I had some visitors, and whenever I talk to them, everything is changing on the outside. And I have no clue. And they are thinking also, I am changing as well because I'm in a completely different situation and so much time has passed. But I had hope. I call it the inner bluish bird inside your heart. And that hasn't changed. Whatever has changed, the core, the spirit, the soul, is still the same. So the song is about that. It's a very simple song. I don't know how it touched everyone. No clue. সেই বাসস্টপে আবার মোহময় সন্ধ্যার ফাঁকে চকচকে ম্যাগাজিন আয়না হবে দু চোখ বুঝে মিলের ভুলে দুটো শুকনো লাল গোলাপ মিশে যাবে রাজপথে গভীর ঘুমে পথিক থেমে আছে কোনো বদ্ধ নর্দমায় চমাট বাঁধা অলস কুমট সময় বছর পাঁচেক ঘুমের শেষে হয়তো রোদেলা এক সকাল জাগবে আশ্চর্য নিরাসক্ত মায়া বাঁধনে আবদ্ধ চেনা বৃত্তের আবর্তে আবার আবার দেখা হলে মিলিয়ে নিও মনের ছবি, শুনেছি বদলে গেছে, জানি বদলায়নি বুকের খাঁচায় উদাস নীলাভ পাখি, আবার দেখা হলে বলো কেমন আছো তুমি, শুনেছি বদলে গেছো, জানি বদলায়নি বুকের খাঁচায় উদাস নীলাভ পাখি, লুকিয়ে আছো গাইছে নীরবে, লুকিয়ে আছো গাইছে নীরবে।
Thanks a lot.
Whenever I sing this song, it takes me back to that situation to some extent. I don't feel bad, I feel hopeful. It takes me back to those situations when I made this song.
Can you explain how the situation was to someone that didn't experience that? How can we imagine that?
I would say this is nothing that people can deal with, obviously. But when I try really hard to put myself back in that situation, every day was difficult. Every day was difficult. Like I said, the absence of free will. You cannot really do whatever you want to do or however you want things. There's a very strict pattern system that you have to follow. And basically, a long stay in there crushes your hopes and dreams. It's like constant fight between whatever you wanted to achieve in life, the times passing by, and so many things could have happened and they're not happening and just not ending. So those uncertainties, those confusions, those are like killers. If you know a definite time that, yes, I'm going to get out after 2 years or something like that, it's completely different. Then you at least have a mindset, I have to stay. It's not easy. It doesn't make it easier anyway. But when you don't know when you're going to get out, hopes will come. Yes, it can be the next day. It can be after a week. It can be after 10 days. But 10 days, a week passes, and it's not happening. This kept happening to me like over and over again. My parents told me I was getting out every 2 weeks. And it went on for 6 years. So those uncertainties are killers. What did I do to deserve this? Why did I have to deal with it? Those questions. Because I don't know if I should say this, Bangladesh is a very unpredictable, very... to some extent chaotic system-wise, chaotic country. So there are a lot of uncertainties. There's no definite security. If you don't do anything wrong, nothing will happen to you. You cannot believe that. Anything can happen to you anytime. I hate being a pessimist about this, but that's the fact. It doesn't mean that something is always happening, something bad is always happening. It's a very nice place to live in, and I love this city, at least, this country. But you have no idea what bad things is waiting for you just outside the door. So, and in my observation, there are three kinds of people who go to prison in Bangladesh. You know, the defendant and the person who files the case. Hey, it's basically their positions in society. If the guy or the person who filed the case has more money or more power, then the other person, doesn't matter if he committed a crime or not, is going to go to prison. And the third one is, you have to be very unlucky. Sometimes you're walking, just minding your own business, and the police are going to pick you up because they have to fill a certain quota of like catching criminals, and probably they fell short on that day at that moment and they just needed someone to like accuse, and they just pick you up. So these are the three types of people who end up in jail, and none of them can be defined as criminals. That's the problem. So there's a lot of uncertainty, there's a lot of hopelessness, and hopelessness gives out the best kind of hopes. Or when you achieve something, the feeling is really great. From limitations, like I had a lot of limitations. When I came up with these drawings, the songs.
These drawings you have to explain. The room is full of books with writing, drawings. You can explain a bit about these drawings.
Yeah, sure. But every page has a long story. Anyways, so when I went in there, it was a very unbelievable place. It seemed like I was just dropped inside a medieval setting. There's no technology, nothing. Just people pushing everything, like carrying carts, food on carts. And the place was super dirty. There were garbage everywhere. There were no maintenance. And the buildings were really old, like 200, 300 year old. It's a completely different, unfamiliar setting. And it was filled with people. Originally, the old jail had a capacity of 2,500 people, but almost 10,000 people used to live there. So you can imagine the capacity, and it was filled with people. At first, I was there for 5 months. And they were very strict about certain things, that you cannot possess a piece of paper or a pen. That's a punishable offense. There are a few people within the inmates who were allowed to write because they had to keep track of all those, the people coming in, going, the count and everything. The administration alone couldn't do that. So only they were allowed pens or papers. But anyone else, no, you cannot have that. Further, even if they caught someone having a pen or paper, a slight punishment or a fine, something like that. But if they caught you writing about that place specifically or the system, that's a grave offense. You'll be punished seriously for that.
What does mean seriously?
Seriously as in you'd be isolated in a dark cell for months. Like that. You can't get out, you can't do anything, you can't see anything like that. Things like that. So that's how I learned to hide situations or express situations in layers. You know, metaphors. I'm not an expert in writing. But because I had to hide whatever I was saying literally, I had to find out layers of words, words within words. And I guess that's what poets do. That's what singers, writers do. They use a lot of metaphors and they creatively express things. And that came to me as a complete necessity. Because I couldn't write anything directly, I had to find ways to like hide them under layers. And that worked out. So when I think back, it was a life-changing experience for me. Learned so much, gained so much. I'm not gonna like evaluate between if I gained more or lost more, because there's no comparison, but I gained a lot.
What does music make made with you when you were in this place, and in the evening you were alone? Can you try to talk a little bit about how strong music is, or how important music is, or what also you cannot find even with music, because sometimes it's also romanticizing.
But honestly, I can share my honest opinion, from my experience. I always heard about music, it's very powerful, music can do this, that. Yeah, but when we're living our ordinary lives, there are only like a tiny portion of music that touches us. We can relate to it, or maybe we don't even have the time to relate to music that much because we are busy with so many other things. But in that situation, I had no way to like even listen to music. Right. For a long time, for about three and a half years, I had no way to listen to music. But when I got the guitar and the sound of, like these sounds, the sound, it's so beautiful. And when I used to be alone in the room, it was so refreshing. Like, I'm super frustrated about my situation, everything I had to do all day long. It's really hard managing a huge bunch of people, or the people who are stuck there. They're not willingly stuck there. So they're not really easy to deal with. Nobody wants to listen to anything. You have to really motivate them to do something creative or motivate them to do something productive. That takes a lot of effort. And sometimes you have to come across people who are completely disregarding you. And I'm not an authority that I can like shout at them, or I have to like understand, I have to listen. So every day was like that. And after that, coming to my room, my cell, heartbroken, broken, devastated. And whenever I started these sounds, and sometimes the words came automatically. And it didn't take much time. I didn't spend a lot of time making one song. They seemed so natural. After that, the refreshment that I got, the relief that I got, that's unbelievable. It's like somebody took all the negativity, all the pain, all the frustration, just washed away all of them. And it's like a completely new, fresh start for me, for the next day, for like dealing with the next day, preparing me for the next day. So every night after making a new song in the morning, I used to wake up completely fresh and a rejuvenated kind of thing. It gave me a lot of strength. There's nothing else like music. I read books and all those things, a lot of activities. I did a lot of things that I never did before, but nothing was as strong as music in the healing part.
How is it compared to writing in your experience?
Writing helped to some extent. Writing helped, like letting out the thoughts and everything. But, like I said, the refreshing feeling of something being created, and that can also work as a medicine for myself and give me the energy or strength to go on, carry on another day. Nothing else gave me that.
And drawing?
Drawing worked like a meditation for me. The style I drew in, the points and the scribbles, it took a lot of time, a lot of scribbling, and they worked like meditation, like focusing on something, forgetting about everything. So they helped me through the present. Music prepared me for the future. That was the difference.
And writing?
And same. My writing worked like meditation as well. Writing, drawing, I would say they had similar effects for me. Like I'm writing, moving my hand. Whatever I wrote didn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. Sometimes the things that I drew doesn't really make any sense. I'm just following my hand or following my mind, just letting them roam free. That's it.
So did you almost do every evening, if possible, a song?
For a while, yeah. Then there used to be times when I even had to work overnight. I used to be really tired to even sit with the guitar, just go to my room and just sleep. There were a lot of times like that. But whenever I got the chance, I try to make something.
We have another song that fits to this, what you're talking about.
The refreshing part? Yeah. Again. Although this song isn't written by me, but I love this song. This was written by another one who was there with me. So this song is called Chorke, and it talks about all the innate wishes that we have. We grow up, but we have some childish thoughts, like that... I don't know how to explain this. I can literally try to translate the song. Like, embrace me with a blanket and take me to see the moon pouring light. Kind of things. Like, when I get lost in the fog or haze, just please try to find me, embrace me and kiss me. These kind of things that in Bangladesh are not very common. We have to be tough when we grow up. We cannot speak of these childish things. So this song talks about those things. And we used to call it a childish song, but later on we found that everybody could relate to it somehow. So I can sing a few lines from there.
আমাকে চাদরে মুড়িয়ে আদরে জ্যোৎস্নার বর্ষায় ভেজাতে নিয়ে যাও আমাকে চাদরে মুড়িয়ে আদরে জ্যোৎস্নার বর্ষায় ভেজাতে নিয়ে যাও নীলছে সাগরের তীর ঘেষা বালুতে মিথ্যে স্বপ্নের প্রাসাদ বানাতে দাও বাড়তে দাও বুনো ছোপের মতন করে শুকিয়ে যেতে দাও ফুল যেমন ঝরে গভীর হতে দাও আমার গভীরে রাতের সাথে অন্ধকার যেমন বাড়ে
Thank you a lot. Now we hear a lot of life in the back. We hear people ringing, rickshaws, things like this. How different is that? Was the sound in the prison? Did you hear sounds as well, or what sounds would you hear?
During the day, a lot of chaos, a lot of people talking. Later on, there were TVs and everything. It's a lot of noise, people shouting. There are a few distinctive sounds, like in the morning when the bell rang and everybody had to wake up and get ready for counting. So there was something called file tick. Like you have to sit in files. File tick, that was a distinctive sound. Then during lockup, Tala Chabi is basically the person who opens and closes the doors. So everybody is waiting or trying to get out. So everyone is calling his name. Then after the lockup, like after six, a different kind of silence prevailed. Like outside was different. Inside the buildings, it was different. Like people were talking to themselves inside the rooms and everything. After like 10, 11, 12, complete silence. A few sounds of TVs and people watching movies or something. Other than that, complete silence. The special part was when the power cuts happened. It used to be complete silence for a few seconds. Then people started singing and all that thing. Nothing like this were there. I missed the rickshaw bells. clinking sound. That's the quality of Dhaka. It's everywhere. And also the motor vehicles moving and everything. But Briksha is the distinctive sound of Dhaka. I really miss that, actually. I have a song, a huge song about that, how much I miss rickshaws. So yeah, the sound quality is completely different. And there are a lot of, you know, cricket sound at night, because it later on the jail moved to outskirts of the city, and it was kind of a suburban place. There are a lot of fireflies and crickets around.
And would the other inmates hear your songs when you were composing them or writing them and first trying them out, singing them?
No, while I was making the songs, nobody heard me. At first, I was in a room filled with 400 people, a tiny room. There was literally no space to stand. Then it changed. In the new place, there were like 40 people living in one room. Then later, I was given a special cell, a tiny room for myself. I used to live alone. Then it was, and that's the time when I started making the songs, when I got a little bit of solitude. But it wasn't allowed to shout or make loud noises inside the cells. So you can tell all the songs that I'm singing, they're like whispering, singing to myself, and that's how they were made. Because I was just singing to myself, nobody else. But as the institution, the cultural institution, or the art school, there are a few people, few musicians who were playing with me, who were interacting with me. So one of them, a guitarist, were there. He used to come to my room every morning just to find out how many songs, just to count how many songs I've made. So he used to sit with me, and then I just learn the song and play with me. That he's like the first person who got to listen to most of the songs. Then sometimes he, on his own, with other people, used to sing that song. There are a lot of hit songs within that environment. Anyways, that's how people got to know that I'm writing songs and I'm making songs and I'm also singing them. So sometimes people used to gather around, please sing us a song. That's how it started reaching people. That's how the authorities got to know. That's how they got published. That's how it reached up, went beyond the walls.
And is your first listener, is he still in prison or is he out? And are you in contact with him still? Is he still the first listener?
No, he's not the first listener. There's he's into drugs, and I thought he changed over the time, but he keeps going back. He gets out and he keeps going back. That's how I kind of acted like a guardian to these people. So I'm maintaining a distance, because I told him, if you don't stop this, I'm not going to talk to you. It's kind of like that. So we're not in contact that much, but he sometimes messages me, I message back, that's it. He's out. All the people, most of the people who were musically involved with me, they're pretty much all of them are out.
So when in the prison, then you started to learn or teach, learn with others or teach others. How did that happen?
When you go inside prison, you're assigned a job. Basically, you have to do something. So at one point, the jail super, the superintendent, changed, and the new one was kind of productive. He had good visions about the place. So he approached me, Jay, we want to paint this wall. Usually there is a painting in every jail, some kind of, so can you paint this? I didn't want it, because you have to stand in the heat, the middle of the noon, and paint on the outside wall. But once I started it, I enjoyed it so much, because I was holding paint and making brush strokes on a huge surface after so long. I offered them, I want to paint all the walls. Can you do that? Like, yes, if you let me, I can. Then I started painting. I painted all the walls for 4 months. Like, we kept painting. There were like a lot of walls all around, like smaller boundaries, bigger boundaries. So that's how they thought that, yes, I can execute things that I say. I'm not just bluffing. I can do things. So they started paying me respect. So they started discussing with me about new initiatives. So At first I started with a school, a bigger school where like 200, 300 people could come in and study. Then I initiated a religious school. I needed that because religious people you have to keep on your side in this country. So that was because I wanted to start something cultural or artistic. Religious people are the first one who are against those. So that this is how I had to plan, had to manage everyone, have to convince everyone, get in their good sides and start something. For me, it was like I have to do something. I was used to that busy lifestyle. I always used to do something. I'm into photography, animation, filmmaking, all of these at some point of my life. So if I want to play the guitar, I cannot ask it just for myself. I have to make it available for everyone. Then, as a part of them, I can use it. I want to paint. I cannot ask for that favor from the authorities. Please, let me paint. They won't let me. So I had to make sure that everyone can, so that I can as well. I want to read books. So besides that library, where the bad librarian was, I initiated another library where you can go anytime and read books, and I can take it out for free and everything. So that was another challenge. I want to read books. So let's make a library so that everyone can read books as well as me. And the library was a good thing as well. I asked my friends outside to donate books. A lot of people donated books. The first lot, there were like 2,000 books coming in. I got a lot of help from the outside. So this is how the whole thing progressed. And when I wanted to create the music studio there was this small setup, not even a sound card, just a microphone plugged in the PC.
And you guys would record.
Yeah. I learned producing there. As I worked with the administrators, I had access to internet a little bit. I'm taking a lot of time. So I had access to internet. I used to go to YouTube and download one tutorial a day. I used to watch that and then apply it on the PC, the computer lab. That's how I learned, like one step at a time, every day. I learned Fruity Loops, their FL Studio. no help at all, just the tutorials one way on. And that's how we recorded.
May I ask how it happened that you had to go to prison? Did it have to do with artistic things? Because you were saying you were into photography, multimedia. What happened?
The act I was sent to prison on, the act was related to defamation. But you can charge anyone with any kind of cases here. Basically, I don't know if I should say it. It really doesn't matter right now. Basically, I fell victim of someone's ego and grudge. That's it.
How long were you in prison?
Around 6 years.
And now when you are outside, are you creating new songs?
Yeah.
And how different is it? Is it completely different?
They are very different, I would say.
But also the producing of it, the creation of it.
Yeah, producing, I can't make time to actually refine songs because I got into that habit of like constantly making songs almost every day, every other day. And still, it's going on. I stopped because I had this mindset because the solitude I got in there, it's not available outside. There's so many things happening, so many distractions, the internet, the phones, people, friends, all those people. So I made that mindset. Once I get out, I can't make any songs. So this is it. Whatever I did here, and that's it. I'm probably never going to make any songs. I wasn't looking forward to it either. Then I went on a trip to Bandarban, I think. And suddenly I felt like writing something and making a song. And that song came out completely different about Darren Perman. So after that, I have been making songs, making new songs every other day, and not really getting the time to mix them, master them, or anything.
What do you do to make a living?
I am a professional graphic designer. So that's how I earn most of my living. Also, I practice architecture, although I don't like the practice in Bangladesh. It's super hectic and there's a lot of problems in between. So I also am a video editor, so I edit videos professionally as well. There are these and this and that, but these don't really give me the satisfaction of creating something beautiful or something original or creative. And this is where music comes in. We don't earn through this. We don't even expect to earn through this. This is just to relieve all of these hardship that we have to face in the professional field.
Oh, so it's still, in a way, the same. It has still the same value in a different environment, basically.
It's just a bigger prison.